إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، I welcome all of you. We continue in in this class, part 3 of this very important matter and topic, which is الحث على طلب العلم وفضل العلماء, that we should make efforts to seek knowledge. We should make efforts to seek knowledge of the Deen of Allah. And likewise, in these lectures, we will learn the virtues of the scholars. The last point we stopped at, that our noble Sheikh, Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, Hafidahullah, he was talking about the categories of knowledge which is obligatory upon the Muslims. The first one was that which is obligatory upon every individual, and that consists of knowing the basics that will make your religion upright, especially in matters of aqidah. You need to know the creed, what makes your belief sound, and likewise in the acts of worship, you learn how your wudu is correct, what nullify the wudu, how to make tayammum, the masih, the ghusl, and the like. Likewise, you're going to learn the salat, what make your salat sound and correct. The likewise, zakat, fasting, hajj, umrah, and the like. So that the person should act upon knowledge. Every action, whether action of the heart or of the limbs, will be based on beneficial knowledge. Al-Qism al-Thani min al-Ilm. Now we continue. The second type of or category of knowledge, ma tahtajuhu al-umma wa la budda min wujudihi. This is a type of knowledge that it must to be found and present within the Muslims. Within the Muslims. ولكنه لا يتعين على كل مسلم أن يقوم به. But the difference here is that it is not obligatory upon every Muslim to have this knowledge. But it is an obligation, is a must, that this knowledge be available and present amongst the Muslims, but not upon everyone. This is going to become, inshallah ta'ala, clear. Which is usually the court is a communal obligation. يعني واجب كفائي. If a group of people took care of it, alhamdulillah, that's what is requested. قال لأنه قد يعجز عنه كثير من الناس وإنما يقوم به أفراد أو جماعات من الأمة يحصل بهم المقصود. Because he said it is perhaps that many people, they may not be able to fit in this category. So therefore, a group of people may take care of it. Some individuals or some groups of people, inshaAllah ta'ala. وهذا ما يسمى بفرض الكفاية. This is what he called فرض الكفاية. The first one was فرض عين. You have to learn what make your aqidah sound. That's obligatory upon everybody. It's not like if we have some ulama that knows the aqidah, the Muslim ignores it. No, you have to know the aqidah, sound belief, tawheed. Likewise, everyone should pray. It's not like if a group of people pray, the rest of the Muslims don't pray. Now you have to pray and you have to learn how to pray. But in this one, it's called fardu kifaya. It's a communal obligation. Meaning, if a group of people took care of it, then alhamdulillah, the rest, they don't have to study this knowledge. Then this group of people should not, if a group of people took care of it, alhamdulillah. ما هو هذا العلم? What is this knowledge? بقية أبواب العلم. The rest of the knowledge that is doesn't fit in the first category. Okay? Such as he says, أحكام المعاملات. ما يجوز منها وما لا يجوز وما يصح وما لا يصح. For instance, the rulings in details as related to transactions. What is permissible in it, what is not permissible. What make a transaction sound and or not. وكذلك معرفة أحكام المواريث والوصايا. Another example also that fits under this category, that is a communal obligation. It's not obligatory upon all the Muslims. It's obligatory upon the nation, the Muslim nation in whole. But if one of them or couple of them know it, alhamdulillah, it's okay. Such another example, the Shaykh says, the laws of inheritance and rulings and regulations. Not everybody know. We may ask a question right now. A man die, all right, a Muslim, okay, die, and left behind $30,000. And he left a wife and two boys and a girl, a grandmother, and a father. Who knows how each one of them, how much they get? You see? Something like this. A lot of Muslims don't know. Because this knowledge is not obligatory upon everybody. And this doesn't mean that the person should, I don't have to know. You still have to make effort to learn it, and inshallah, ask Allah to make it from those few people who know this matter, because it's very important. Okay? I just gave that as an example. I don't want to be thinking about it right now. Especially if you don't know what you're doing. If you don't know what you're doing, don't just think about it. Okay? There's no guessing in Islam, remember? If you know much, that's another knowledge, it's a science itself. Science of inheritance, and it is in details, alhamdulillah. We're going to get to it, inshallah, in Mulakhas al-Fiqh. In a chapter of Fiqh, we will, inshallah, get to that, inshallah ta'ala. Likewise, ma'rifat ahkam al-ankiha, wal-talaq, wal-udad, wa ma'ashbaha dhalik. Another example the Shaykh mentioned, that is obligatory upon the ummah, but not upon every person to know. But it should be someone, whether individuals or groups, among the Muslims who know these things. So that those who don't know, they go to them. Okay? Such another example, he says, the rulings in details of marriage, divorce, the iddah, the waiting periods, and all this. A lot of people don't know. That's why they bring their questions. Can you ask the Shaykh for me? And people should know at least the basics of these things. But in details, what took place and here, that's what fall under this category. وَمَعْرِفَةْ أَحْكَامِ الْجِنَايَاتِ مِنَ الْجِنَايَةِ عَلَى النَّفْسِ أَوْ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ وَمَا يَتَرَتَّبُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْقِصَاصِ أَوْ الدِّيَةِ وَتَفَاصِيلِ ذَلِكَ لِيَحْكُمَ بِذَلِكَ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ بِالْحَقِّ. Likewise, another example is having knowledge of rulings and regulations pertaining to jinayat, murders, and how you deal with it. Somebody kills somebody out of mistake, on purpose. If this person is from this, of this religion or the other, and what to do. Also the blood money, to be given or not, how much it is. There is details in that. That's a science to itself. Okay? The retributions too, the law, the prescribed punishments by Allah for this, for that, for this. All of this in details. All of this, some people has to know these things, so that the people can turn to those individuals who study these matters in details, so that they can be of a benefit for the people. Not the people now, okay, I don't know, so what's going to happen? They don't know what to do. No, they have to go to those who, alhamdulillah, they made themselves available, and they learned these matters. قال فهذا القدر من العلم وهو بحر لا ساحل له لا بد من وجوده في الأمة. He said this category of knowledge, which is, by the way, he says is an ocean with no borders, with no ends, you know, is a must to be existent within the Ummah, within the Muslims, in all time. Okay, within this Ummah. لأنها بحاجة إليه, because they will need it, because people die and they leave money, so how are they going to distribute that? People get married and maybe they get divorced, how are they going to settle these disputes? People get wrong each other in their blood or in their honor or in their wealth, how are they going to settle those disputes? Okay, and all of these things. فإذا قام به من يكفي سقط الإثم عن الباقين وإذا لم يقم به أحد فإن الأمة تأثم كلها حتى تعمل على وجوده وتضمن وجود من يقوم به منها. And then after this, the Shaykh says, Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, he says, if a group of individuals took upon themselves this responsibility and they learned these matters, these sciences and these rules and regulations in detail, it's good. Alhamdulillah. So the sin is removed from the from the rest. The other ones are not sinful. Okay? But if all Muslims, none of them, took care of this category of knowledge and therefore is not existing amongst them, they all sinful. They all share in the sin. Until some of them took care of this knowledge, this category of knowledge. قال الشيخ هذا هو الفقه في الدين بقسميه الضروري الذي لا يعذر أحد بتركه والكفائي الذي إذا قام به بعض الناس ممن يحصل به المقصود سقط الإثم عن الباقين وبقي بحقهم سنة. So this is the knowledge which gives the person a sound understanding in the religion with its two categories. That which is obligatory upon every individual to acquire, so therefore no one is exempt by not learning it. Okay? And the second type or category of knowledge, which is a communal obligation, is not obligatory upon everyone, but if an individual in the society took care of it, alhamdulillah, the rest are not sinful. But it become a sunnah. Okay, so it's not obligatory, but it become a sunnah for the others, so that they can learn as much as they can from it. قال الشيخ على كل حال. So however, this being said, فإن طلب العلم أمر مطلوب وواجب من حيث الجملة على كل مسلم. But keep in mind, after the Shaykh bring these details, he said, but keep in mind that seeking knowledge is a matter that is requested, rather, in generally, is obligatory upon every Muslim to seek knowledge. The Muslims, they do not stay ignorant and they just follow anybody. No, the Muslims, they follow the Quran and the Sunnah. But if they don't know the Quran, don't know the Sunnah, how are they going to follow the So it's obligatory upon the people to learn. قال لا حياة للناس إلا بالعلم الذي هو النور الذي يسيرون عليه في حياتهم وبعد مماتهم. So there is no real life for the people except with knowledge, except with learning this deen from its proper sources. The Quran, the sound sunnah of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, with the sound understanding of a Salaf al-Salih, the companions of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, and whoever followed on that path. There is no real life except through knowledge. This knowledge that is light, that the people need to see during their life. And they leave it behind for those who come after them. فَمَنْ وُفِّقَ فِي ذَلِكَ وَتَفَقَّهَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ هَذَا دَلِيلٌ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَرَادَ بِهِ خَيْرًا. So therefore, anyone who was made successful by Allah, because success is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For those of us who are here now, alhamdulillah, in this circle of knowledge, this is tawfiq from Allah. This is a ni'mah from Allah. And we have to thank Allah for it. Otherwise, many of you could be somewhere else right now. No, we could be doing something else. But this is from ni'mah of Allah that we have to thank, that Allah has made it easy for us to be here. Other people are struggling. They want to be here, but for whatever reason, they are not here. Okay? But Allah has made it easy for us to be in this circle of knowledge. And this is a ni'mah. But we have to, as we mentioned before, to pay attention. Don't just be here to be counted. We don't take counts. Oh, I was here, akhi. No. Doesn't matter. You're here or not here. For me, I would love to see you here. But what's matter is you. Why you're here? Ask yourself a question. I'm just here so the people see me? Why I'm here? Because I have nowhere to go? Why I'm here? Because there is heat and outside. I want to stay outside, but outside it's chilling and cold. Just let me sit here. No, these are not good reasons. I'm here because I need to learn this deen. I don't know what this brother is saying. This topic is, subhanAllah, I need to learn. And even, subhanAllah, even for those who already know these things, look at the great benefits of being in a circle of knowledge. Being in the house of Allah. Alhamdulillah, you're in the house of Allah. You're in the best place. And you are listening to knowledge. The angel encircle you. The mercy of Allah descend upon you, the tranquility, and Allah mention you in a better gathering. SubhanAllah. There is so many other benefits. And you're waiting for the salat, and you're counted for as you're still in salat. Alhamdulillah. He said, so the Shaykh Hafidhullah said, this is a ni'mah. If you are from those that Allah open their hearts and mind to seek knowledge and to have understanding, this is a proof that Allah wants good for you, Ya Abdullah. That Allah wants good for you. Because the Prophet said in this hadith, there is a great upon by Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim, مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. If Allah intends good for a person, give him the correct understanding of the deen. The correct understanding. People look at the good is in a different way. The one who's having more businesses, more houses, more stores, start with one store and go to another one. Now he has a chain, 10, 15. But that person, those stores take him away from the masjid, from salat, from his children are lost in the street. They're like, man, Allah want good for that brother, man. Look at the money coming to him from all over. This is how certain people look at good. No, this is how we look at good. There is a scale. What the Prophet said, he says, if Allah wants good for a person, Allah wants good for you, subhanAllah, then he will give him the correct understanding of the religion. قال الشيخ ومفهوم الحديث أن من لم يرد الله به خير لم يفقه في الدين. لم يفقه في الدين. Likewise, he says, the opposite is true. And it is understood from the hadith itself. That those that Allah does not intend good for them, they don't have understanding of the religion. So we ask ourselves a question. Are we going to, which group he wants to be with? Those whom Allah wants good for or not? The answer is easy. It has nothing to do with your color, what country you come from, what achievements in this life has to do with one thing. He wants to be from those that Allah wants good for. Put efforts to learn this deen. Make it a priority. Make it, this is my purpose. I'm going to put my efforts to learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثم قال الشيخ العلم حياة القلوب. Said knowledge is the life of the hearts. That's the life of the hearts. Knowledge. SubhanAllah. The real life. Some hearts are dead, man. Even the person still, you know, walking on earth. The heart pump blood. But it's still considered a dead heart. The real heart is the one that pumped Tawheed. And Sunnah. That's what he pumps to the body, to your eyes. The Haqq. Righteousness. Because the limbs, they follow the heart. You know? What you're going to say, what you're going to look at, what you're going to listen to, where you're going to go, what you're going to touch, what decisions. So, it's pumped by the heart. So a heart that doesn't pump Tawheed and Sunnah and this good thing is a dead heart. The heart, as you know, can get sick. You know? وقد شبه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما جاء به من الهدى والنور شبهه بالغيث. The Sheikh says in a hadith, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم compares or actually likened the guidance and the light that he brought from Allah. Because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he brought guidance. He brought light. And we all know the difference between light and darkness. You see? Is it easy to walk in the light or in the dark? In the light. What do you do in at your home in the night when you just wake up, for example? What the first thing you do at night? First thing you touch, what is it? Hold on, he answered. You're in your room, right? Is dark. The first thing you do, you touch. What is it?
The light.
The light. The switch. The light switch. You turn it on, right? Why you turn the light switch on?
Because it's too dark inside. You can't see nothing.
Ahsan. Because you can't see nothing in the dark. And in the light, you can see things. You see this. So light make things difficult or easy? Easy. Likewise, Islam. Ilm, knowledge is a light. Those who have knowledge, things are easy for them. They know what to do, what to say, where to go, where to stop. But those who have no knowledge, their affairs are difficult. From a problem to another, from an issue, they hit in bump to another. It's like someone who's walking in a basement, in a dark basement, and there is so many stuff in that basement. Hanging all over. Some objects are very sharp. Would you walk in the dark in a basement like that? Well, guess what? This life is nothing but that basement. So many sharp things. Deadly things, actually.
You can get hurt by them.
You can get hurt. Likewise, people are getting hurt because they don't have the light.
They're in the dark.
They're in the dark, that's why. they're in the dark. Here the Prophet ﷺ likened and resembled, gave an example of the guidance and the light he brought from Allah with rain. Ghayth. With rain. See, in the Sunnah, the Prophet ﷺ, he gave examples because examples help the people to understand matters clearly. And Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahu ta'ala, and Shaykh ibn Baz, Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, they used to give a lot of examples. Especially Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen. Shaykh al-Albani, he used to say always, وَبِالْمِثَالِ يَتَّضِحُ الْمَقَالِ. Shaykh al-Albani, he used to break the matter in details, but whatever reason, maybe he's looking at the audience, and then he's like, okay, let's give an example to make this matter clear. And he used to say, وَبِالْمِثَالِ يَتَّضِحُ الْمَقَالِ. An example, make this matter clear. The Shaykh, he says, وَالْغَيْثِ كَمَا تَعْلَمُونَ تَحْيَ بِهِ الْأَرْضِ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. He says, and as you know, when it rains, what that do to the heart, to the land that was dead? Let's say grass in the summer is very hard. What the grass do? It turn what? It's like dead. Like we don't see the grass. Where is it? It's gone. No grass. It rains, and what happened?
Turn back to life.
Grass is revived. Is growing again. Likewise, he says, العلم كذلك تحيا به القلوب والبصائر. Likewise, knowledge revives the hearts. Some hearts are dead. That's why they make those bad decisions. That's why they make poor decisions. Not dead. No benefit. But knowledge revives the hearts. Bring back and restore the life to the hearts. وَحَيَاتُ الْقُلُوبِ أَعْظَمُ وَأَشَدُّ حَاجَةٍ حَيَاتِ الْأَرْضِ. He said, keep in mind now, the life of the heart is more important and more needed than the life of earth. Yeah. بَلْ أَشَدُّ حَاجَةً مِنْ حَيَاتِ الْجِسْمِ. نعم. The life of your heart, having a live heart, is much, much important than having a strong body. Person have a strong body and muscles and this and healthy, but he has a dead heart in it. It's like having a nice looking Camaro, whatever it is, right? And a dead engine. Where are you going to go? Huh? You're not moving anywhere. Only those who come around, they're like, man, this is nice. And you're like, now whether you be honest and say, look man, don't be fooled. That piece of, I don't know, he ain't going nowhere. Other people, they even fooled. Oh yeah, that's my baby, man. That's mine. That's my ear runs to run where? He didn't take you nowhere. Likewise, a dead heart didn't take that person nowhere for good. That's why he's not coming to the masjid, he's not coming to the khair, but take them somewhere else. Amen. فحياة القلب يحتاجها الإنسان أشد من حاجته لحياة جسمه. Sheikh says, to have a live heart that is alive, it's more important than to have a strong, healthy body. Why not? Because that's the decision made by the heart. Why not? That's why the ulama, they have a lot of statements about the heart. For instance, one of the salaf, he says, when a person is talking to you, pay attention. You know, to what they're saying. And he mentioned, he says that, al-qulubu aw'iyatun wal-alsunu magharifuha. The hearts are pots, utensils, while the tongues are ladles. So when someone is talking to you, pay attention, because he's scooping from his heart. It's not just the tongue, that's in his heart. And we know, as our brother Abu Ways, rahimahu ta'ala, I heard this from him, that's why I refer to him. In the same way, alhamdulillah, His name is mentioned, Rahimahullah, and Jazahullahu Khayran. And he used to say, every container gives what it contains. That's it. Whatever is in your heart, that's what's going to reflect on our tongues, on our hands, on our attitudes, on our behavior, and everything. If you have a container of milk, are you going to pour any juice out of it? Worse, you have a container of bleach, and you want to put it on some cereal and give it to the kids? Can you do that? Why not?
Because you might get sick by it.
You get sick. Look, kids, they know what I'm talking about. Get sick. So it's very important. A heart that doesn't have ilm, knowledge, is dead heart. It's heart that isn't living in the darkness. But knowledge restores light. So we start see what we're doing, right? Aynam, barakallahu fikum. فحياة القلب يترتب عليه السعادة في الدنيا والآخرة وموت القلب يترتب عليه الشقاء في الدنيا والآخرة. SubhanAllah. Look, he says if the heart is alive with knowledge, then the result is tremendous. Joy, happiness in this life and in the hereafter. But if the heart is dead, the consequences are fatal. You know, bad consequences. Nothing but hardship in this life, وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ and in the hereafter, that person die upon that state. أَمَّا حَيَاتُ جِسْمِهِ فَإِنَّهَا لَا يَتَرَتَّبُ عَلَيْهِ أَهْمِيَةٌ كَبِيرَةٌ. He says, as for a person taking good care of his body, muscles, this, healthy, vitamins, this, but ignore his heart, so what your body gonna do? Take you where? Nowhere, because at the end, you're going to die. Doesn't matter how strong a person may be, but he will die. Because Allah says, كل نفس ذائقة الموت. Allah says, every soul shall taste death. Will die, no doubt. Not only sick people die. Actually, some sick people live for a long time. And strong, healthy person die. As one of the poets, he mentioned a line of poetry. He says, وكم من صحيح مات من غير علة وكم من سقيم عاش حينا من الدهر. He says, كم من صحيح مات من غير علة. Many persons, they die, no, they don't have no reason. صحيح, healthy, sound health, person died. Some, they are very athletic, man, they practice sports and they're very strong, surrounded by doctors, they play for big teams, they die. That doesn't, you know. And then there are people who, subhanAllah, you may know some people, they've been in the hospital for years. Chronic illness, they're still alive. And they still say, La ilaha illallah. They can walk, they can go nowhere, but they still say La ilaha illallah, alhamdulillah, and read Quran, and remember Allah, and thank Allah, and ask for forgiveness. قال فالمطلوب حياة قلبه التي يمتد نفعها في الدنيا والآخرة. He says, what is requested is that yes, you take care of your body too. Make sure you're strong, you're healthy. This doesn't mean yet you neglect your body. No, you take care of it, but you have to give more importance to your heart and your soul. This doesn't mean now just go and neglect your body. No, take good care of your body too. Stay strong, stay healthy. But you need to focus more on your heart and your soul. Why? He says, because that's what brings you benefit in this life and in the hereafter. The condition of the heart and the soul. And one of the poets from the Salaf, also one of the ulama of the Salaf, he mentioned a line of poetry. He says, اعتني بنفسك وأتمم مكارمها فأنت بالنفس لا بالجسم إنسان. One of the scholars of the past, he made these lines of poetry, and he says, take good care of your soul. Make sure you purify it. Complete its virtues. Because you are a human being do to your soul, not do to your body. That's what make a person a human being. Not just the body, the soul. A person is like a human being, but some people act worse than animals. When in their actions and in this, you know? No. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the disbelievers and the polytheists who do not worship Him. He said they are like cattle. Actually, they are worse. They are worse than cattle. وَلْهُمْ أَشَدُ. So, it's very important for us to remember this. Take good care of your heart, your soul. Check your heart. Have you checked your heart lately? Have you? You gotta check it. People drive a car, check the fluids. Subhanallah, they are like paranoid. They check it twice a day. The oil, what's the other fluids?
Transmission.
Power steering. Brake fluid. Antifreeze. Yeah, some people do this. It's a good thing. They do it once a while and they check it. But have you checked your heart? They check the tire pressure. Check their wallets. How much money they have. They check this, their planning, their savings. But what about your heart? Have you checked it? You gotta check it all the time. What's in your heart? What you let in? And what's in your heart that have to go? Shouldn't have been gone a long time ago. Still holding to things that will be of no benefit for us. Now. قال وقد ضرب صلى الله عليه وسلم مثلا لما جاء به من العلم النافع بالغيث الذي يصيب الأرض وقسمها إلى ثلاثة أقسام. So the Shaykh, after he mentioned this example about the heart and the importance of the heart and taking good care of the heart and the like, he said, yes, the Prophet ﷺ give this example of beneficial knowledge. It's like a rain that descends upon the land. وَقَسَّمَهَا ثَلَاثَ أَقْسَامٍ. But as related to the rain that falls on the land, the Prophet ﷺ tells us that there is three types of land as related to the benefit from the rain. Okay, not all lands benefit in the same level. Okay? قال أرض أمسكت الماء وأنبتت الكلى أي العشب. The first type of land, when you rain on it, it keeps water. The water penetrates and it holds it, and vegetation and plants and trees grow on it. You see? This land keep water. People, they need water, it's there. And also, plants grow, vegetation, trees and the like. فهي أرض مباركة وأرض طيبة أمسكت الماء للناس يشربون منه ويرتمون ويسقون وأنبتت العشب الذي منه تأكل دوابهم والزروع التي يأكلون منها. He says, this type of land is a blessed land. مباركة. There's a lot of blessing in it. It's a pure land. Since it holds water for the people. Because we human beings, we cannot live without water. That's why you see the nomads, if they live in a place when there is no water, they move. And they go look for water. But this blessed land and pure land hold water for the people. So people drink and use it for other things. And also they use it for irrigation. They use it for their animals and for their needs. And also this land is a fertile land. Alright? That's a word, English word. Fertile. Fertile land. Okay? Sometimes I mix the English with the French, so pay attention. It's a fertile land, meaning that it, if you put something in it, alhamdulillah, it grows. So they can benefit from. They eat from, and their animals eat from, and the like. قال وهذا مثل العلماء. This land is like the scholars. That's the example. الذين حفظوا العلم وتفقهوا فيه واستنبطوا منه الأحكام بأن حفظوا النصوص من الكتاب والسنة وفجروا منها المسائل النافعة المفيدة. هذا مثلهم كالأرض التي أمسكت الماء فهم أمسكوا النصوص وحفظوها وتفهموا ما فيها واستخرجوا كنوزها ومعانيها وبينوها. Says this type of land is like the scholars who they memorize and they learn and they have understanding of that what they memorize and they extract many benefits, okay, ruling and regulations. So the scholars who memorize the text of the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with sound understanding, and therefore they extract from them many beneficial matters and rulings and regulations. It's like that land behold the water, see, and bring forth vegetation, because then they hold knowledge, texts, they memorize them and they understood. Because now if you don't know a hadith, call the sheikh. You know, same way, you need water, the well is right there, because that land held the water for you. Okay? The spring is right there, still, alhamdulillah, gushing from. Likewise, this ulama, they memorize knowledge, they have knowledge with them. Ask them about the ayah, they know it. A hadith, know it. What is the ruling of this? Inshallah, bismillah, give it to you. What is the fatwa, Shaykh? What we should do? They have it. So not only they memorize text, but they make them available too. And they benefit the people. طيب. القسم الثاني, the second example. أرض أجادب لا تنبت ولكنها تمسك الماء للناس وهذه فيها خير. There is a barren land. Doesn't bring no vegetation. But one thing is good about this land. It keeps water as well. It keeps water. Okay, and save water. فيها خير. There is good in it. لأنها أمسكت الماء للناس في الخوابي وفي الغدران حتى يشرب الناس منها أو في بطن الأرض حتى يستنبط منها الماء لزروعهم وأشجارهم. This land doesn't bring forth vegetations, plants, but keeps the water, whether in little lakes or ponds or maybe in people have to dig. There is water in there, you know, in the form of wells and the like. It is good so that the people can use that water to drink from and for them and for their animals and for their needs. قال وهذا مثل العلماء الذين يحفظون النصوص ويميزون بين الصحيح منها وغير الصحيح ويردون عنها الزيف والدخيل والكذب. And the example of this is those scholars who memorize the texts, especially the text of the Sunnah. And they know what is sound and what is not. And they protect the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and they refute the liars who they say, oh, the Prophet ﷺ said, they says, no. Says who? Where is their narration? Where do you hear it from? These are those ulama. يُمَيِّزُونَ بَيْنَ الصَّحِيحِ مِنْهَا وَغَيْرَ الصَّحِيحِ. So that the sound narrations remain distinct from the weak ones. Now, so the Shaykh Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, he says, the second type of land that keep water, but no vegetation grow on it. But still, is beneficial for the people since there is water, it has kept water for them. Okay, that they can use it themselves. He says, this is the example of the ulama who spend their lives memorizing the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So they keep the sunnah. That's why we have this ahadith. None of us been there, none of us heard this ahadith from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There is a long time between us and between the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But through the ulama, ulama of, they call them the ulama al-riwaya. Those ulama who they spend a lot of time and make, of course, gonna make some sacrifices, a lot of efforts in memorizing the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and preserving it from the wicked people, people of innovations, and from the enemies of Islam, who they try their best to turn the people away from their religion by what? By introducing fabricated narrations to turn the people. That's why you find the Sufis mainly, because they are ignorant. They have no knowledge of the deen. They just come up with ideas, and mainly you find them using so many fabricated narrations. And they're like, we have narrations, what are you talking about? Narrations. That's why they do this. They're based on narration, but those narrations are fabricated. And if they are not fabricated, they're weak. Very weak. And as you know, it is not permissible to use these narrations. Okay, when it comes to deducting rules and regulations, the hadith has to be sound, as the ulama, they mentioned. قال فهؤلاء فيهم خير كثير ولكنهم أقل من الصنف الأول. So these ulama, there is a lot of good in them, but they are not on the same level of the first ones. What's the difference? Who remember?
First one produces vegetation. One grows, one does extract conditions, and one benefit the people, and one just benefits itself.
And they benefit the people too. That's the abid. The one who does actions of worship, he's the one who benefits himself. Now. Now, the difference is that in the first category, those scholars, they memorize the text, but also they extract rulings and regulations, and the people benefit from. That's the plantation, and that's the fruits. But this one, in this category, they memorize the text, alhamdulillah, make sure that this is sahih, this is da'if, follow what is said, but it's not like the other ones. They expand and bring rulings and regulation and explain them. And in both there is good. For qism al-thalith, the third type of land, wal-iyadu billah, ardun qiyan, la tamsiku ma'an wa la tunbitu kala'a, ya'tiha al-ghayth wa ka'annahu lam yanzil alayha. Subhanallah. The third type of land, and the shaykh says, wal-iyadu billah, and we seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from this category, is this land that doesn't hold water and doesn't bring forth any vegetation, nothing. No water, no plantation, nothing. The Sheikh says rain. It rains on it like it doesn't rain. It rains, but then once it stops, nothing. No water to be found. And no plants, nothing, you bring nothing. قال وهذا مثل من لم يقبل هدى الله الذي جاء به الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم ولم يرفع به رأسا. The example of this land is the one who rejects the guidance that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم brought from Allah and doesn't act upon it, والعياذ بالله. Because he hears the knowledge. It's like this land, rain come on it, nothing. This person, he lives in an area where there is knowledge, but doesn't make effort to memorize or to seek knowledge, and doesn't act upon it. It doesn't benefit. فهم يسمعون ولكنهم لا يسمعون ولا يحفظون ولا يهتمون وهذا مثل الذين لا عناية لهم بالدين لا بحفظ نصوصه ولا التفقه في معانيه. So these people, yes, they are in environment. They hear, but they're not listening attentively. They don't want to listen. They just hear things. Some people come from Jumu'ah. They come, for example, for Salat, but then the class is conducted. They may hear some knowledge, but they're not paying attention to it. They're not listening to it because the Sheikh says, and they do not memorize because they are not serious about their deen. Not only they don't care about memorizing anything or benefiting, and they don't try to understand the deen of Allah. قَالْ هَؤُلَاءِ أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِهِمْ شَرًّا. The like of these people, Allah wants evil for them. لِأَنَّهُ لَوْ أَرَادَ بِهِمْ خَيْرًا لَفَقَهُمْ فِي الدِّينِ. Because if Allah intends good for them, they will be from those who trying hard to understand the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember that it is not enough for a person just to be a Muslim by affiliation. Just a Muslim because they were born in a Muslim country, or even if it's Mecca. Even if it's Saudi, even if a person, you know, born in Mecca, next to the Masjid al-Haram. But if they never learn the deen, they don't try their best to have knowledge and to have correct understanding. Not just knowledge, they have to have the understanding of the Salaf. There are people who memorize the whole Quran, but they still commit shirk. They recite many ayats against shirk, but that person commits shirk. So it's not just memorize, but also having the sound understanding. So these people who do not try to understand the deen, to learn it and make effort, Allah doesn't want no good for them. قال الشيخ فليحذر الإنسان أن يكون من هذا الصنف الثالث الذي لا خير فيه لا رواية ولا دراية ولا حفظ ولا فقه ولا اهتمام. So we have to be aware, and we shouldn't be among this third category of people. Shouldn't be among this, and we shouldn't be around those who there is no good in them, nothing. They cannot tell you, oh yeah, I know this hadith. They don't. They don't know any hadith, nothing. And they have no understanding of anything and no actions whatsoever. So these people, there is no good in them. It's like that land. Can you imagine? Can anyone really in his right mind build a house in that land that has no water in it? No plants, no trees, nothing growing land like that. Can anybody in his right mind move in there? Move his family in there? Why? No water in that land. No water. And you need water. It's essential. No food in that land. So what are you going to go? Die, suicide, commit suicide by moving that land? Likewise, sometimes some families, they make some poor decisions. They move to some state. Why? They says, guess what? I don't know. Rent is cheaper over there. Is there a masjid upon the sunnah? Sometimes they're not even a masjid. School for your children? Nothing. No. Rent is cheaper. Some they say insurance. Car insurance is cheaper in that state. That's why we're moving, brother. We're packing. Are you following us? Wait a minute. What's in there? Is there any knowledge? No. Is there any righteousness? Khair? School? Quran? Tahfidh? Nothing. So why you go over there? No life. No life for the heart and the soul. Because remember, what brings the life to the heart is knowledge of the deen of Allah. Now, even if you be somewhere where, mashallah, the cost of living, they may be a little bit expensive, or maybe it's difficult to find the job you wanted. People, the first thing they ask, if there is a place where, mashallah, there is knowledge, there is a school for the children, especially they learn Quran, Sunnah, the Arabic language, Tawheed, the correct Aqeedah, good Akhlaq. Our noble scholar, he said, that's supposed to be the priority. I say, that's what you want to be. As for how much you're going to make, that's different. If you find you make enough to go by, because your children and yourself are making more, much. You see? Some people, they want to move to that area where there is that masjid, alhamdulillah, when there is that student of knowledge who's teaching. But then they're like, wait a minute, where they at? Where there is nothing, no knowledge. Children, they don't have nowhere to go. The wife, she's by herself. She may be the only one wearing niqab in the whole area. He wanna put a kufi on, but he's like, I don't know, everybody gonna look at me. But he's making good money in there. Now he's like, what if I go to the other place where alhamdulillah there is Muslims upon the sunnah, I can be with them, my children, they can mix with other children who may they memorize Quran and this. But then what is the problem? No, he's not coming. Or he's not going to that place. What is the problem? He's going to be making less. Where he yet he was making 60,000 a year, now they give him 45. No way. Akhi, for 15,000? Are you paying attention to what your children and yourself been making? You worry about what you would be coming to your wallet, and you don't worry about what be coming to your heart and your children's hearts? It's very important. That's why, subhanAllah, you see certain people, they make moves. They heard about a place, mashallah, they make moves. And of course, the best places is to be with the ulama, no doubt. That's the best place to be with the people of knowledge, with the scholars. But I understand in our times it's difficult. You gotta have to make sure that you have the right paperwork and a visa. And it's not like, okay, just pack your stuff and go to Saudi airport. Actually, they stop you here in the airport in the States. Do you have a visa? If you don't have it, you're not getting on that plane. You're gonna say, I have a ticket. I said, yeah, but you need to get a visa. Well, mashallah, that's how they do their things. But you make preparation. And even if you're going to give up certain things, certain people, subhanAllah, they'll be like, oh, we're going to go over there. There is knowledge, ulama. You're going to be sitting with the ulama. But then they're like, but there's no lakes. We're going to take our children. My children, they used to, every week we take a loaf of bread, man, and feed the ducks. And you care about feeding the ducks, but you don't care about feeding your children Tawheed and Aqeedah and Quran. Ya ilaha illallah. Some people, they're like, oh, akhi, oh, it's far from home. Which is your home? Which one? The home that you learn from, that has rain, has water, right, akhi? That's your home. They have water and have food. That's your home. The one that have Tawheed, Aqeedah, Quran, have knowledge. That's our home. You know, it's very important for us. And, but of course, the ulama, our noble scholar, he says, for those who cannot travel for the ulama, it's not easy. Then where you what? Do your homework. Ask the scholars. Tell them, Ya Sheikh, I live in Europe. I live in Canada. I live in America. I live in South America. I live in Asia. The ulama, they know, because there is so many students of knowledge. Some of them, they know, they have connections with the ulama. They know. You live in Asia, you cannot move to where the ulama is. If there is no ulama, a phone call. You live in Canada, Europe, America, Sheikh, what is the best place to go to? They tell you, go to this place, there is some person, and this person or these persons, be with them. Make your preparations. It may take you a month, 3 months, a year. Make arrangements. As Sheikh Muqbil rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, don't just pack your stuff and come. Come first, spend a week or two, a month, see what it's needed, what it takes for you to make that move. You see? But you make that move not for the dunya. How much I'm going to be getting. People, they move to Wyoming. I don't know, somewhere in Montana, there is no masjid, no Muslims, but what's in there? More money. What about your children? What about yourself? Being away from knowledge, from the deen, from tawheed, from aqidah, from classes, being around beautiful people who wants to stay upon the truth and upon the haqq. It takes a lot to make the right decision. It takes a lot to build a house. But to destroy one, take no time, no effort. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا